This is RSVMB Update, episode 329, recorded Wednesday, October 5th, 2011. He's a familiar. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us for this episode of RSVMB Update. As promised, we're here with our bot specialists, Cap and Raji. Cap?
Hi, Shane.
And Raji. What's up, Shane? Welcome back, both of you. I know this is something I wanted to do since initially getting both of you on in your separate episodes back in July and August, respectively. So we're going to take that and we're going to discuss this week's RuneScape updates and discuss some questions related to bots. So, should be a good show.
Cool.
So let's get started this week with the clan, or the chat changes and camera controls. So, chat changes first. Basically, as everybody knows, now it's /P/F/C/G for public, friends, clan chat, and guest chat, respectively. So, what do you guys think of that part of the update?
I really like the whole sort of thing with the chat, like, because there's been so much sort of, like, you know, things about, you know, players ever since, like, the start of RuneScape wanted to type on multiple lines, and now you can do it. I think the character limit's a little small, though. I think they should update that to allow us. I think they possibly will next week or the week after, but I think we should be allowed to type more characters, because what I heard is there's a character limit, but other than that, I think it's brilliant. It's a good change. And
yeah, there is a,
you know,
character
it's a small
limit.
One, but it's part of the game evolving, isn't it? You know, it's when I saw the sort of /P/G for the chats, I thought World of Warcraft. But
is that
at
how
the
they
end
do
of
it
the,
there?
You know, apparently it's like /W for Whisper, which is like a PM, and /W for Whisper and /P for public chat. I don't know how it works. I've never played, but it's something along those lines, but apparently a lot of games use it. But yeah, I mean, I saw it in World of Warcraft, but you know, it's a nice feature and I like it.
Yeah,
it's a logical way to go with it, isn't it?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And there is the character limit. I know I did a bit of spamming, and when you fill your text box up entirely, it only fills up the first line and maybe about 3/4 of the second line. So there is the character mm-hmm. limit on there, as you thought. So
yeah,
that's a good way to prevent spamming too many lines at the same time, I think. But it could
be
a
nice
little bit
if they allowed. It'd be nice if they allowed at least 2 full lines of sort of average
yes.
chat.
Yes. And one thing I also noticed with this is if you're in the lobby and you're typing a private message to someone, that still is truncated at the old length. So that new length
yeah.
doesn't apply to messages, which was a little bit strange in that wasn't updated. I noticed that.
They probably just missed out. They probably just forgot that as they did the code update.
Yes. So also with this, the private chat no longer appears in its own little, I guess you could call it window or box inside the main chat window. It appears as an actual chat line. Do you guys think that's a better move altogether, or did it throw you for a bit of confusion when you first typed?
It kind of, yeah, because I signed in and the first thing I did, somebody PM me, so I instantly hit tab. Although I normally read updates, like, I sort of just loaded up the game because I didn't think there'd been an update because I'd been to work and stuff, and I come back and, yeah, the first thing somebody did when I logged on was PM me, so I instantly hit tab and I was thinking, all right, why isn't my chat coming up? Is it glitched? And then I was like, oh, my things changed at the bottom. So at that point, I figured there must have been a game update, so I went and read it and I was like, oh, cool, that's pretty cool. It wasn't really the chat that I was most happy about, really. It was the completionist game changes and the adventurer's log thing. I thought those were brilliant. The only problem with the adventurer's log, in my opinion, is that you can remove boss drops off there. Whereas you couldn't before. If you had your adventurer's log set to on and everybody could see it, you could see everything. But somebody can have their adventurer's log on and turn their boss drops off. That's a problem for me because I like to free-for-all bosses. I don't ever do loot share or coin share because it's just crap. And free-for-all is a bit more exciting. I find that people try harder to get their kills, so they hit more, the kills are faster, you know? I just find it works better for me. And it's always nice seeing a Tova plate body lying there on the floor when you finish the next kill. But, yeah, it's... I think they'll, you know, I'd like to see something implemented where you can see what people have got enabled and disabled, just so, you know, you know if people are hiding their boss drops or not.
Yeah, one thing also about this is, from a user interface point of view, it doesn't really make sense to have it in-game. That would have been better off with the adventurer's log, because as we know already on the adventurer's log page, there's an option to change it from private friends or public for your playtime. So I think that would have been a better add-on there, and you know, it would have been able to probably give better control than doing it through the in-game interface.
I think you're right, Shane, but I think there's a valid point as well with putting it in-game, because hopefully one day they'll bring a lot of these out-of-game things like the adventurer's log and whatever will be brought in-game. So your high scores positions will be part of what the in-game experience, and, you know, in line with the game, rather than having it separate. So I think it's nice to have the settings in there.
You know, that would be a good thing to do, I think, kind of maybe integrate it in terms of having more emphasis on the player in-game, because right now most of what you see in-game is character-related. If you follow where I'm going, the interface can either be a character interface that controls, for instance, what your character is wearing, or a player interface, which is things like your video settings or your adventure log settings. So more player stuff in game would be a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one thing that I was incredibly happy about with this update was that they finally fixed the private chat alignment issue. I know this is a very tiny thing, probably comes down to about 10 pixels or so, but previously the private chat, if on split mode, would have been aligned to the left-hand side of the applet. Now it's actually aligned to the chat box, so yay,
and
finally!
Finally, Shane can sleep at night.
See, the one problem I noticed with that was, if you open, what is it? If you go to join like a friend's chat, and you know how it comes up with a white box still, it covers part of the text. Like, you can, if you look like where it says so-and-so is logged in, that it cuts off the bottom of the G's. I think they should raise it a little bit, but other than
that,
it's good.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. So, you know, little things like that, I'm sure will get ironed out in short time, I hope. Knock on wood.
It's not really a big deal. It's just one of those sort of OCD things, really.
And, you know, that's something I completely noticed with everything when it relates to interface. I mean, I could point out a whole bunch of other little interface annoying things that I think should be fixed, but anyways.
I think some of them are going to be limitations, aren't they, where they've done things, but others, they're just going to have been considered low priority and they're just going to do it later. But then they get a stack of these things that are all low priority, do it later, and suddenly it just ends up looking messy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's chat and the adventurous log. What about using the middle mouse button, mouse wheel to control the camera?
Good. I like that. I think it's really good because, you know, it means, you know, am I allowed to be dirty on here?
that depends.
I don't even want to ask where you're going with this.
Say if you're one-handed, you don't have to use the...
Raji.
Yeah, I do. Sorry.
Okay, you could have went with that and not have mentioned anything regarding being dirty or anything. You're using one hand to control the mouse. I mean, I type with one hand all the time.
Equal opportunities.
Which was better than I did.
So... Initially, I wasn't sold on the idea, but when one of my boss hunter friends told me that, yeah, this means, you know, I don't have to take my right hand off the mouse anymore to control the camera view. I can just control the camera view with my mouse and pull up all the different interfaces using the F keys. So,
yeah, I think it's a good idea with that. Better to have your hand free for the F keys. I mean, I used to like when I was PKing a two-handed approach anyway, because you know you could use your mouse to do whatever you're doing in the invent, and then control the camera view.
Yeah, but yeah. I haven't really used F keys that much because my print screen key is my invent key. Like, so I used F1 for, or was it F2? Yeah, F1.
I don't know.
Sorry,
I don't know,
is F1
know
in?
What it is. But I know one of them is
my print screen key for Godwin, because I take a lot of screenshots, and I just find, you know, I don't know if any of you use Godwin or whatever, but I just find it easy because you can press one button, it comes up with a message, screenshot taken, it saves, it crops it, and it adds a file name and puts it in a folder. I love that because it saves so much effort rather than like hitting print screen, copy paste it and pinned, crop it, save it, rename it, whatever, and Godwin does all that for you in like a second.
You know, I think Godwin was a pick once here at the end of the show, so it's a known thing, and I know I've used it before, so
It's a brilliant program there. I love it. Yeah.
Also, one thing, I don't use the F keys because Mac user, and a few of the F keys are duplicates of built-in OS X functionality, so that's a limitation as to why I don't use the F keys, same as like your screenshot thing. So
that makes sense.
It but, doesn't make sense, but
it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't, but it does.
But it costs twice as much, so it must be better.
Oh, you guys! It's well worth it when you're writing code and you want a Unix environment that's pain free.
I've never used a Mac before. Like, they look good, but I don't know. I've always used a Windows computer, like a PC, and I find them. Why is there a guy in my friends chat called "I am so gay"? I've just noticed. I'm speaking in clan.
Well, everyone, there's your tangent for the episode here. Strange names in friends chats making appearances.
I think I saw him last week, and he was saying he got hacked and got changed to that, and I said, well, why don't you go on the forum and ask to get it changed? And I think he kind of likes it now, so. I didn't ask any more questions.
A lot of people seem to be getting hacked, and it's worrying. Like, do you remember a few years ago when they put up the poll on the website, we're going to bring out this USB security key? And everyone was
Yes.
And then they were like, no, we got too much negative attention. We're not going to bring it out. And I was like, wow.
I think that's something that they should have done.
Yeah. Like, they would save them so much customer support hassle.
I mean, that's one of the number one rules of staying secure, multi-factor authentication.
Mm-hmm. Like, even so much, you know, like how Blizzard have the authenticator? That would be perfect. Because that code only lasts like 30 seconds, and you've got to type in like a 8-digit code, a 10-digit code, something like that. You're not going to get hacked, even if you've got a keylogger. Yep. I would love one. I would pay a lot of money for one of them. Yeah, I mean, I've never been hacked, but I would pay a lot of money for one of them just to guarantee it, you know?
Yeah, me too. And, you know, they could market it in throwing in extra bank space or something, you know, with it. But I think that was one of the first things that Mark Gerard did when he became a CEO, but I'm not sure why they reversed it.
Probably because they couldn't make enough money out of it at the time.
Again.
I wouldn't be surprised if that rears its head again, Shane, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good thing to look at.
I just read on how...
Anyways. Wise old man has had his bank cleaning service updated to include all free-to-play quests as well as selected members' quest. So he has a new interface now. I don't know about you guys, but personally that was never that useful to me.
It never used to be because it didn't really cover that many members' things, to be fair. But I had a run down there as soon as they announced this one and did another scan again. The interface is quite nice because you can delete the items directly from there. It only found one in my bank, which I was a bit gutted about.
Which item was it?
Glareal's Urn.
I haven't used it yet.
It's worth a look. It's worth a look. It's some things I keep hold of because I think, is it going to be used again? Isn't it going to be used again? Am I going to have to waste time getting it again?
True.
Yeah, and you know that's something with quests. I think that they've changed also is that most of the quest items now are not droppable items. They're just destroyable, and they tell you where you can get them again. But it is a hassle going to get them again if you do need it for a quest. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that's why I tend to keep a lot of my... I've got no bank space at all. I'm a pack rat. I keep everything. Like, everything I've gotten from, like, miscellanea, I just keep. Because I just... You know, if I ever need... Honestly, I've got, like, 200k maple logs sitting in my bank because I just haven't sold them. And it's like... I think to myself, I want to use them one day. I want to, you know... after I finish whatever I'm doing, I'll just sit and burn them all.
Well, because you already have 99 fire making, so do you really need that many? Well, you told me before you don't go for ranks, so.
Yeah, I know, but I'm doing my trimmed completionist kit at the minute, and then when I do that, I'm going to want to train some skills, because obviously there's no content in the game that I haven't completed, so I'm not far off. I should have it by New Year, actually, which is pretty promising.
Well, that's good.
I think I should be top 10 to have the cape, and that'd be awesome.
Yay! So speaking of the completionist cape, this is something you were excited about. It now has the enchanted bone sack teleport, an option to manually set its colors, give it the functions of a spirit cape, and a longer particle trail.
Why does it have the option to give it the function of a spirit cape?
I don't know.
It's optional.
See, I thought the same thing. I was talking to Mod Slayer on TeamSpeak earlier, and I asked her the same question, and she said certain players might want to remove the effect. And I was like, why would you ever want to remove it? Because I didn't want to buy the Spirit Cape in the first place because I'm struggling for bank space. So I bought the cape, used it on my completionist cape, and I expected it to disappear, but it didn't. I was like, oh, for God's sake, like, am I going to have to keep this? And I don't know. Apparently, it's the effect stays if you die with your cape. And I tend to die at necks occasionally, but I don't want a neck. And it's just annoying. Like, I only ever lose my cape if I DC because my gear that I've got on me protects over the cape. But I normally choose the cape over the like whatever else I've got because it's just a pain in the ass to go and get from the top of the museum every time you lose it. You get the 5 mil back when you die with it, like you get the 5 mil coins underneath the grave, but it's just annoying to go all the way back, you know? But apparently the effect stays in the cape. So I was like, why would it need a toggle option? There's just no need.
What was the effect that it gave you with the spirit cape? My memory's gone.
It decreases the special bar combat familiar will
yes,
use.
That's right.
So it's sort of like they really have just jam-packed everything into one cape. Like, I haven't chested it out yet, but I wanted to go and try it at TDs or something like that. But it's just, I don't know.
Pretty epic.
Yeah, they changed the particles on it too. Like, I don't know if you saw the particles before they changed them. Like,
yep.
They compare the 120 Dunge Cape. The 120 Dunge Cape was sort of like a, I don't know how to describe it, softer smoke. Like, it was more
but it was,
part. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a longer stream though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they've just pretty much changed the colour to white, stuck it on the bottom of the completionist cape, and it looks awesome. That's another reason why I can't wait to get it trimmed, because it'll be gold. So.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, it's just one of those updates that, you know. Because I guess high-level players don't get a lot of updates, and like for us, that was one of the best updates of the year by far, was the completionist capes and the max capes, because it was just, you know, Mod Crisol posted a thread on High Level Forums a couple of weeks before, it was like a month before they brought the cape out. They said, look, we're making these capes now. We want your feedback. What do you want in them? And we pretty much posted, we don't want anything cosmetic like skill capes because they're crap other than the prayer bonus. We want something that we can actually use everywhere, and it's going to make up for the fact that everybody on the bloody game is going to ask for the emote. And we want all the best capes in one, and we want it to be an accumulator at least. And he was like, all right, I'll do it. And then he was like, what do you want it to look like? And we were like, well, if we can customize it ourselves, that'll be awesome. I didn't think there'd be particles on it, though, until I bought it. I was quite surprised about.
You know, that's very nice of them that they put that much effort into it and allowed you guys to design your cape, which is good. I wonder, do we know how many people have the completionist cape trimmed?
Trimmed? There's like three or four.
Okay.
Not even. Castle Wars, NG Mintech, Swagology, and... yeah, there's one other guy. I can't remember his name. But yeah, it's. I think there's three or four.
Still a pretty elite crowd then at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's the 5k Castle Wars games that makes it rare. I mean, I'm at Castle Wars as we speak. So it's sort of, you know, it really is 3 months of non-stop 24/7 gameplay, which, as you can imagine, it's double that for anybody that has anything to do in real life. I mean, I work myself, so I'm hoping to have it done by New Year. If I can have it done by New Year, I'll be over the moon, because at the end of the day, I never have to go back to Castle Wars again. I can just see myself finishing this 5k next update. Oh, by the way, we've removed the Castle Wars requirement for the trimmed completionist because we thought it was too much.
Well, that would be bad, but anyways, other little things this week. Anvils have been given a smith option, so you don't need to click the bar and then click the anvil, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, that was a mod slayer idea, apparently.
Okay. Demons in Daemonheim now drop Impious, Accursed, and Infernal Ashes, depending on their level.
Makes sense.
What did they drop before?
They just didn't...
Sorry. Go on.
I was to say, they didn't drop anything before, did they, in terms of ashes or bones?
I think it was just regular ashes. I don't know, I can't remember. I haven't been dungeoneering for a while. I think it's so that people can use them on the altars for prayer XP. I think that's the only reason why.
Oh, that would make sense then. Okay. The Tome of Frost has also had the amount of damage... reduces the amount of damage you receive from now being dehydrated in the desert, so it acts as a kind of like a water thing, like the water nice. Tiara.
I like that, yeah.
And a few changes to temple trekking. Players will now receive 25 ghastly attack scrolls instead of 15. Attacking an enemy that is fighting your companion will now pull threat away from him or her. Hard companions now receive slightly more experience for completing an event. Ranger and mage companions' accuracy has been increased, and trekkers will now eat at below 50% health instead of 25%.
I like that a lot of these updates are just sort of common sense updates, aren't they? You can kind of see it sort of filling in the gaps in the picture for a few of these things.
And you know, this temple trekking, when I heard these specific things before, were issues as well. So it's good that they're getting fixed, because I know... people have a tendency to get annoyed about temple trekking.
Yeah, I spent 3 days solid doing that after it came out to max out my characters, because it's obviously a trimmed cape requirement to max them all.
Okay, I see.
And the hard ones took a long time. It was literally getting to the point where it was better to do the easy ones because they leveled up quicker by you doing the events, and they get very minimal XP, and it was just, it took forever. It was annoying.
Yeah, I haven't gone back there since that update was released. I haven't leveled my characters yet.
It's a lot better than it used to be, though. It's a lot better than the old version, in my honest opinion.
Yeah,
I think they did a good job with it, because the old one was just sort of, you know, there was nothing really to it. It was just, you know, now this one, it gives you an incentive. And if you get them all to max level, it makes it a lot easier because you can, obviously, they help you out. So.
Yep.
And the teleport as well, the rewards, like the teleport on the games necklace to Berg de Rot and Barrows, I really like that. That's awesome. Like the medallion that you get from the Branches of Darkmare quest.
Right. Yeah.
How many teleport options are there on the comp cape now?
There's four. Ardy Monastery, Ardy Farm. No, there's three, sorry. Ardy Monastery, Ardy Farm, and Scout of Horror. And the third option in the middle is to recharge summoning points.
Oh, okay. And finally, rangers should listen out for a complete rework of the ranged combat sounds, including samples of real bows, crossbows being drawn, and the hefty thocks of projectiles hitting their targets. There are also all new sound effects for enchanting bolts and ranged special attacks. So I'm guessing JX probably went out to some shooting field and shot some bows and bolts, I guess.
So hang on, Jagex went and shot their bolt and recorded it. Okay, cool.
I would like to know where they get these bows from, because I want one. I'm not kidding, I do. I used to have a slingshot, like I still do somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I used to love that, but I can't find it anymore.
Target practice on birds?
No, I used to set up, actually, I've got a window that overlooks our back garden, and we've got quite a big back garden, and my brothers and sisters used to play in the garden, and I got like a big box of like sweets. I don't know if you've ever heard of them in America, but they're called Quality Treats, and like they're different shaped like chocolates, and they have different things inside them.
No, I don't think we have those here.
I used to do target practice from the window with these chocolates. it was a few years ago, mine. That wasn't recently. I'm not okay.
I bet they didn't complain too much, though.
So you have a real-life ranged level, then. That's good.
Yeah.
I can't help but think these new range sound effects are a precursor to a pretty huge update to range coming soon. If you think about it, they've increased obviously the mage side of the triangle quite a lot with SOA. They've increased melee obviously over the last couple of years. So really, range is currently pretty underpowered in terms of high spec weps and whatever else.
See, I think they should just revamp combat completely because, I mean, if you look at things now, obviously the equivalent to what they do now, but not as powerful, if you get what I mean. Like, so make them less powerful, but the same equivalence to what they are now.
Just equalizing them.
Yeah,
so
like.
Actually do fit in a combat triangle.
Yeah. Kind of, but like it's just, you know, things are getting so overpowered. I mean, you can go to Bandos now with Torvar and Divine, and you can kill like 70 bosses on your own. It's like you should not be able to do that.
Yeah, and you know, God Wars was never designed for that. It was designed to be a team boss fight. It wasn't designed to be soloed. So I get what you're saying there.
It was summoning that made it easy.
I think the thing is they've moved the levels of some of the armors available to players up to counter for the higher level weapons that are available to players, but they haven't moved the NPC levels up to take account of that or change the stats of the NPCs.
See, they graphically updated Kirill, the Zamorak boss, and Commander Zilliana, the Zamorak boss, after the Ritual of the Majorak quest, which I don't know if you've seen them, but they actually look brilliant. Like, have you seen pictures of them?
No,
I've been down. Yeah, I've been down God Wars.
They look
looks
epic,
pretty cool.
Like, yeah, I didn't even realize until somebody told me about them, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I looked up the pictures of them, and they
that
do. They look
epic. Good that could have been a really good opportunity to update stats at the same time as well.
Yeah, I think they should maybe change the mechanics of them or something like that to make them a little bit more, you know, challenging. But at the end, somebody else said to me that, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, they're not really very challenging for you as a player because you're high level, you're maxed out, whatever, you know, whatever else. And but for somebody who hasn't got a summoner level as high as you and hasn't got stats as high as you, they go to Bandos, it's hard, you know? But I don't know. It's...
Yeah, but the same thing applies in that the amount of people who can just go there and solo Bandos or even attempt to solo next, that is a... There's an increasing number of those, and it wasn't designed for that initially. So even if it is making it harder for, say, the 110 to 120 crowd, I think that would be something to consider making them harder.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they could just sort of, you know, add new bosses. Well, have you seen this Dominion Tower that's coming this month?
Mm. Yes, we're going to...
That's a day I am Skyven work for.
I think we'll get to that
in a few minutes in the behind the scenes. So, anyways, but yeah, that's an interesting idea to increase the stats of the God Wars bosses, which I don't think it would go over well for some people. But you know, that needs to happen. The game needs to be rebalanced, I think, over time, because you can't have a... Like, this update is from 2007 when it initially came out, and we didn't have summoning back then, and a top-end player was 126 combat maxed all across. We didn't have turmoil. We didn't have summoning familiars, so it... And, you know, I think you guys...
Yeah, it's constant review.
So, anyways. Next up is something relating to RuneFest once again. You guys who are going to RuneFest, Raji's going to RuneFest. If you go to this session, you're going to be able to vote on a player-submitted piece of content that people can submit between now and the 13th of October. So they say it should be high-leveled, should train or include skills that are not combat-based. It should be low to medium-sized, think charm sprites or extreme potions. It should provide an item reward, and the reward should not be combat-based but can benefit combat in the long term.
So not very specific then.
No, not at all.
Oh, what? Okay.
I'm gonna design something for farming on this one.
Okay, cool.
I'm not sure what yet, but I will get something in together by the 13th. I'm gonna make sure I do that. You guys gonna send anything in?
I was going to. I only saw the headline on this one. I didn't read the details yet, but I'll have a look and I'll probably send something.
What did you say, sorry?
Are you getting an idea into the game?
Oh. I don't know. Possibly. Well, yeah. I'll see what happens, really. But...
I wanted to do something... along the lines of saying any items in your bank being able to categorize which tab they go into automatically, you know, so you don't have to keep sorting or whatever else, or you know, you dump your arm bank, it just goes into the tab you've already allocated, whatever. Same for any items.
I wonder if they would accept that because it's not necessarily training a skill.
No, it's not going to
help you in the long run. So. We'll and see. Then at the end, they cleverly say, buy a ticket and come see us at the UB The Judge Insider Session at RuneFest. So, apparently they still have tickets left.
Yeah, well, I just bought a ticket right now, actually, for one of my friends who's coming with me.
Okay.
They sold out party tickets, but I bought them a weekend, but I'm hoping that we can go to the party and just pay them like £50 at the door to go in. But if we can't, then it's not the end of the world.
Oh, you should be able to do that. You have the VIP ticket, so they should. You should have some clout with them.
If it doesn't work, Roger, you just get him to walk behind you, and then you walk in, and then when he says, "Well, hang on a sec, he's not got a ticket," just say, "No, he's a familiar. Don't worry about it." That was fine.
I was not expecting that.
Oh, that's great. All right, so if you've ever wanted to design a game update, now's the chance. I will be doing something, and I'm going to make sure I do it, unlike the contest for the RuneFest entry. So I will be doing that. Anyways, next up, Behind the Scenes October. Or no,
yay.
Let's do Behind the Scenes first, actually. So Dominion Tower. This is what Raji was excited about, and you too as well. Mm. So basically, I read this as a way to fight bosses from previous quests. Is that what you guys read it as well?
Part of it, yeah.
I don't know. I'm quite looking forward to see what it turns out to be, because I sort of thought they would have just threw a bunch of bosses into the tower, and it's sort of like an endurance thing. Like, you know how fight caves is? Like, you go into fight caves, you've got to sort of tank your way through it.
Right, like a wave-based mechanic thing.
Yeah, I thought of it being like that.
It sounds to me, though, like a blend of that and the champion scrolls, you know, where you've got restrictions on what you can and can't, because mm-hmm. they mentioned about the challenges.
Yeah. Check those right, images at the bottom. I think they're of the tower.
And some of these are designed to offer new unarmed combat options, so maybe you will have to do something unarmed to get the unarmed combat options.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, it does look brilliant, and, you know, anything that involves combat, I mean, like, things like Torva flew up as soon as that was announced, because I think people expected it to be sort of... They did briefly mention Dominion Tower before the behind the scenes, but I don't think people thought it would be like a boss tower. I thought people thought it would be like a Slayer Tower sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Take the thumb off the URL there just before the JPEG to look at those full size.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and Cap, also I see where Dreadnip comes from now. Plus, you get to play with the deadly Dreadnip, a new ally to help you in your hardest and toughest fights yet to come.
Yeah. I just went and sniped that name. It looks pretty cool.
Anyways. So, I'm wondering when this will be coming out. You guys think next week or?
End of the month.
The week after?
I think end of the month.
At RuneFest that they... they said in the behind the scenes that they're going to do something with it at RuneFest, like they want to have it on test servers for people to try out at RuneFest, which I think will be awesome. I don't know if I will do it myself at RuneFest, because I don't really want to ruin the update for me, you know? I kind of want it to come out and do it then. I don't know, I might be tempted and try it then, but we'll see. But it does sound like an awesome update, and I'm quite looking forward to it.
Generous combat XP and new consumable items to use on the surface world. So
this is going to be instanced, isn't it, by the sound of things?
Yeah, probably. Because, you know, it would be very hard to get that many people in a single area waiting for queuing up to fight a certain boss next, I guess. So, anyways. Also coming this month, The Pit, an agility distraction and diversion.
That looks alright, but it's not something... I mean, I don't normally like D&Ds because it just sort of pulls me away. I don't like coming away from what I'm doing. Like, I set myself a goal in game and sit and do it, you know? I don't want to... Like, with the Citadels, that... Like, yeah, I like to be a part of my clan and stuff, but it's sort of...
Too time-consuming, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is all right if you... They say you need to get an invite when you're doing agility to get this.
I think this is a good thing, though, because agility, I'm not being funny, it's one of the skills that needed a bit more excitement, because it is damn dull when you're running around and around those courses. And I know grinding is dull generally, but with agility, it's different because it's one of the few skills where you're just off by yourself. And that can just make it so dull because you can't really PM properly because you're trying to get your clicks and your time and
tuned. And get your XP. I'm wondering, every time someone talks about agility, I'm wondering how I managed to get 99.
rub it in, why don't you?
Well, Randy has 99 as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's,
my day will
I think
come.
That I think it's good to spice agility up, and you know, I do hope that the one of the three of us who is going for it all at the same time will eventually pick up and get 99 agility again. So,
well, the way I see it, by the time I do agility, it will just be click a couple of buttons and you get 99 anyway. So that's the way the game's going, right?
I can see that going down well.
Alrighty, it's true, so yeah, you know, I don't particularly think that that's a way that the game should be going, necessarily making it easier as time goes on, because I don't know, then it just becomes too easy for the new players, and how are they supposed to experience the game? We experience the game. I mean, sure, we had RuneScape Classic, which was nice and difficult, but then RuneScape 2 came out. That was difficult at the start, but it just seems like it's got easier and easier over time. Or is it just that we're getting higher and higher levels? Because Raji's maxed. I'm 134 combat cap. What are you?
135 at the minute. Just about okay, to go 136.
So we're all fairly high leveled.
Levels aside, I think it, if you actually just look at the content of the game, everything has gotten a lot easier. Just generally, there's a lot more hand-holding nowadays than there used to be. And I think they missed the point with that so much. I really do. I can't emphasize enough that this finding your way around and learning how to do things, they seem to think that's a problem and that it's stopping people playing. I think it's what gets people into the game
yes,
a lot more.
Yes, because it forces you to get into the game and become a part of the world, not just exactly looking up on some RuneScape website or following some pointer arrow about where to go.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I enjoy the quests.
Yeah, I think the thing is if your hand's being held too much, you're not even playing the game, are you?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
See, I did the vast majority of my quests without a guide because, for the simple reason, it's nice having to figure things out on your own. Like, I did Ritual of the Margerat and Wild Gothic Sleeps and all those without guides. I haven't used a guide for as long as I can remember, actually, but it's more enjoyable for me because you've got to work everything out there and then, rather than sort of you getting your hand held and then they say, oh, you know, this boss is going to be next, prepare for it. I'd like to sort of bump into it and then think, oh, I've got to bank. Yeah, it's a little bit of a, you know, a reroute, but that's part of the fun of it, really, is because you learn how to do it yourself and you're not being told exactly what to do, so you do it first time. And that's what I love about quests, really, is there's always something new there. And every time there's a new quest, I look forward to it because, you know, it's awesome. Like, with Ritual of the Margerat, I was really, really, really looking forward to that. Because it was the end of a massive storyline, or near the end of a massive storyline, and it was just huge. A lot of people were really excited for it, and it was a brilliant quest. I was just a little bit disappointed that it wasn't a bit longer, because...
Yeah, it did seem fairly short for a Grandmaster.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like, Wild Gothic Sleeps, if I can remember rightly, that one took me and a friend 7 hours on the first day it came out. Because I can remember starting when I got in from school, and then I was done by the time I went to bed, which was about near enough 7 hours. And it was, you know, we did it without a guide on the first day. And I think we had one of the first dragon plate bodies in the game. Because we all got the three different shards, there was three of us, and we put them together and made a dragon plate body, and we had one of the first plate bodies in the game. It was quite interesting. Cool. Because that went for a lot of money, that one did.
Wow. Well, so I guess that does provide a bit more insight into the whole hand-holding thing, and, you know, that's a perspective we don't really hear that often, so thank you for sharing that. Anyways, then of course we'll round up the month with Halloween, DeathCon 2. So, is DeathCon a real convention, or Because it says with RuneFest and DeathCon happening at the same time.
Maybe.
I have no idea. It's kind of. Yeah.
Let's see. DeathCon. Okay, there's a website for it, but I don't know if that's an actual thing, so. And then there's a MySpace page.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, I don't know. But anyways, so Graham is inviting all comers to his own Halloween-themed castle to help out with DeathCon 2, a three-week convention to celebrate all things spooky. Meet new characters and old favorites as you engage in perplexing puzzles and catastrophic conundrums, earning you new cosmetic items, a new emote, and a chance for non-clan members to see what Citadels are all about.
I really like the idea of Citadels, to be honest. I just think it's sort of dead content, really, in the sense that, you know, they could have allowed us to... I think they allow us to have banks now, but they could allow us to skill there. Well, I guess they couldn't because of the bots, but...
Well, they did allow High Alking recently there.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
That's not bad, but I think the problem with allowing people to skill there would be that people would go there just to bot. And obviously they're less likely to get reported if they're in a citadel because there's not people wandering past them all the time.
Mm, especially when they get together to create a citadel.
Yeah. And well, I'd imagine if...
Yeah, that's true.
I'd imagine Jagex would catch on to it at some point if they created a bot citadel and they just all sat in it and botted. Like, I can imagine they would catch on pretty quick and
yeah,
they would
that
get
would
a
be
cluster
fairly
of players
obvious.
At once. Mm-hmm.
So, anyways.
I think they could do more interactive stuff there because, I mean, the whole idea is that this is your community area. So they should have things like, you know, they should have walls you can tag there or whatever, or message boards that people can... I know they've got one sort of integrated in there, but that should just be a lot more fluid and intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I think they're a good thing for clans initially, and as you say, they should maybe have a little bit more interaction with the forums and whatnot, but you know, personally, I think it was a good start compared to what we've seen from Jagex in the past regarding clans. So I think they're all in with clans now, and it's something that they'll continue to support in the future.
I'd like to see a situation where the citadels are treated more like clan servers, if you like. So when you're doing clan wars, you'd visit another person's citadel to go and fight there. You'd have home and away games. You'd have people coming and watching sort of epic fights going on and whatever. You know, try and generate that kind of interest in it, because then you'd get people using them a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like football grounds almost, if you like.
Yeah, that's true. So, anyways, I think that is good for the behind the scenes. And then just one little piece of news regarding the state of the economy and Jagex still controlling it, even though it's said to be a free economy after free trade. So, as we all know, the prices of nature runes have, hit the floor, pretty much. It was at a point in which you could high elk nature runes to make a profit, thereby meaning you could make a profit getting a 99 magic and beyond. So, in order to combat this, Jagex has reduced the high elk values of the nature runes. So, what do you guys think of this? Personally, I don't think they should be messing with little individual cases like this. People voted for free trade to come back.
No, I don't think they should have messed with it either. It wasn't that big of a deal, and they would have dropped it anywhere to the price. I think, you know, they just sort of picked up on it and thought, ooh, we can't be having that.
It just sends the wrong message out, though, doesn't it? Because what this is saying is that there are so many S-running bots creating Nats.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the majority of the input. And when you look at the most traded items and what have you on the G, and you look at the sheer quantity of how many are being traded, rather than fix the problem, they're fixing one of the symptoms of the problem. And yeah. I'd rather they just look at it and say, yeah, you know what, there is a problem here. Let's introduce something to try and stop this from happening anyway. I don't know.
Yes, because you don't go messing with little things like this. Because the general store value of the nature rune is still the same. And previously, for most items, high elk was determined by 1.5 times the general store value. And that's not the case anymore with this item. So this is breaking a rule that's, in essence, been set by Jagex. Not implicitly, just something that's been well known for a long time. And
but what happens when the next item? What happens when the next item goes the same way?
Exactly. Are we going to keep seeing this?
Of course we will. It'll keep happening.
And you know, that's not fixing the problem. As you said, that's not fixing the root cause of the problem. So, just... I don't know. I literally hit my desk with my fist when I saw this. Because you don't do that when it's supposed to be a free market. If you're going to do that, you might as well just control the prices of everything like we were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's difficult because, I mean, I was just about to say it'd be nice if they actually turned around to people and said, look, hey, we've got this problem. There's a few things we can do about it. This is where we're at. This is what we can do. What do you think? And get the community involved more, because the community polls that go out there at the minute, I just don't think they're involving enough, and they're not involving enough of the right element of the community in a lot of ways. Which is why I'd like to see things like polls going in-game. So, you know, when you log in, it says to you, by the way, here's a poll, what do you think? Because
yeah,
a lot of people just
good.
Don't go on the website to do it. They just don't bother. They just go straight to play or whatever.
And people don't even notice that the poll section is there. And, you know,
it's hard
to find the new poll section on the new website. Previously, it used to be on the side, but now polls seem to be only highlighted in the news postings or at the top menu somewhere.
A lot of people just go straight to where they want to go and they want to play, and that's it. But the difficulty is, I was going to say they should have polled people about that or asked what the things were, what the thoughts were, but during that whole time, people would have been not abusing this, but they'd have been taking advantage of this to train their magic. And I do think they're right to say that it shouldn't be a free and easy 99, but the only reason it's such a free and easy 99 is because people are botting the Owl King. They're auto-clicking and whatever. So it's not a big issue. Whereas if you said to somebody, look, you can do this and alk your way to 99, alking is a slow way to level. It's a slow way to train. And people training legitimately don't really want to alk all the way into 99 because it's a painful process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. So
there aren't many people that do it legitimately. I mean, I know I sat and did every single click, you know, I would never even consider botting. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, people just think, screw it, can't be arsed. It's what I think it is the kids in the game that have no patience whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Is the way I
yes.
think of the bot is they
yes.
you know, they come onto the game, they think, oh, this is going to be a struggle. I don't want to spend time doing it. I'm going to go play my Xbox instead while this does the work for me.
Yeah, but don't
I
you think
don't
that,
see the point.
Don't you think that ties into what we were saying earlier? It's all this hand-holding that's going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
People, there's now a culture, a whole culture where kids come into the game.
And
that
comes from Make X. Because
yeah,
if
exactly.
you think about it, that was brought in by Make X. And before Make X, how did you get 99 Herbler? You had to click every single potion. You didn't click two into an inventory.
No, I had to click every single one, and every single one of them three times over. And
so maybe us players who were around before that have an appreciation for the automation that's already in the game. So we're not as likely to bot, maybe? I don't know.
I think it's a difficult one because I kind of like Make X in some ways because it did, you know, all that clicking was bloody annoying to try and do, you know, 14 times your invent and then 14 again and repeat and repeat and repeat. It did get annoying and you didn't want to sit there and do it for too long. But I don't know. So I kind of like it in that respect, but I do think it's made things just too easy and people just don't appreciate things quite as much.
Yeah. Mm. And You know, this was a hidden update. It was just posted three paragraphs in a news post or in a recent game updates forum. It wasn't even posted on the main front page. So, you know, as you said, you know, maybe a bit of community consultation would have helped and maybe led to a better idea of what to do with this rather than just acting on this. I mean,
well, the reality is, if you were to do that, they could have come to exactly the same conclusion at the end of it anyway, because they could have steered the conversation the way they wanted, but at least then people would have felt they were involved and then felt that they were listening, and, you know, it would have cost them nothing to have done a much better job of it.
Yep. Anyways, so that's just a sample of the state of the game we're in. Let us know what you think on the discussion for this episode. Do you agree with this? Do you don't agree with this? Let us know. Anyways, well, that was a long session there, but we're going to move straight on to questions right now. We got two Dungeoneering-themed questions and a whole load of questions relating on bots. So let's get these two Dungeoneering questions out of the way first. First one is from HaloDude108. Hey, guys. Just wondering what your thoughts on the whole Chaotic Rapier versus Chaotic Longsword are. I'm currently working on getting one, but I'm not sure which to get. Thinking about getting a Chaotic Longsword for the looks and superior stats, maybe you guys can change my mind. Thanks, from Halo. All right, Raji, Rapier or Longsword?
It depends. See, I always thought Longsword was better for boss hunting, like Bandos. Like, I will never go solo Bandos. I don't know. I mean, it depends what his combat level is and what he's into doing. If you only want to do Slayer and stuff like that and the occasional boss hunting, I would definitely go for a Rapier as an all-round weapon. But if you're into PVM, solo boss hunting, solo Bandos, whatever, a Longsword is a lot better for PVM than a Rapier is, because it's more accurate than a Rapier. It just depends what you want out of it. A Rapier is better all around. A Longsword is better for PVM. But you can use a Longsword for Slayer. It's just not recommended because the Rapier is faster.
I'm going to agree with pretty much everything you said there. So it depends on what you're doing. as said,
I think that was very eloquent.
Yep. Because, you know, it depends on what you're doing, and he didn't provide any information on that. We've covered both sides there. So, anyways, thank you, Halo. Now, next one is relating to more Dungeoneering equipment, this time from James. I have a Rapier and 450,000 tokens to spend, thinking of the wrong area there. Should I get the Maul and Shield, Maul and Crossbow, or Crossbow and Shield? And if Shield, which one should I get? Now, here's one that requires a little bit more thinking.
Silence. a Rapier, it's a good start. 450k tokens to spend. I don't know. The shields are decent. Again, it depends whether or not you're going to PVM. I mean, the crossbow is great for Armadyl and Nex. The shields, you wouldn't want to use those for Slayer anyway, because a defender would be better to use, as it's not worth using a shield because the attack bonus weighs out the defense bonuses by far. So if you're going to be doing Slayer, use a Dragon Defender.
It depends on his finances as well, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it depends on that too. So I would say if you're going to PVM, I would get the shield, and the longsword or the crossbow. But if you're going to be doing Slayer and just general combat training, I would not bother with the shield. I would just slay with the Dragon Defender and use a Rapier and possibly get another weapon like a longsword and a crossbow rather than the shield as well. But yeah, it depends on your gameplay style, really. If you're a PVMer, then yeah. If you're not, then no.
Yeah, and I don't think I would go with the Maul at all, because isn't that, I thought Mauls are two-handed, right?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. The Maul is more of a PVM weapon, PvP PVM weapon, because it's so powerful. Like, it's great for tormented demons because, you know, you don't really need a shield for TDs anyway because they're not really that powerful. People use it for PvP as well, but It's also good for water fiends at the same time, but unless you're going to be camping for charms, then I probably wouldn't bother. If you feel like you're going to be camping for charms or water fiends, then you get one, because it's really accurate and it's really, really good, and it's better. It outweighs any other two-handed weapon, like a, you know, Saradomin sword or Zaratas. I mean, back when I did my 99 summon and I camped water fiends with a Zami spear, and it was like, it was slow and painful.
All right. I don't know. Is there anything else we need to say about that one? Or
no, I mean, if he's asking us to pick one of the options there, then say maul and crossbow.
All right. Alrighty then. Cap, you want to read this next one from Rice?
Yeah, sure. So from Rice, we've got, what are your thoughts on the vast number of bots limiting the sense of one's accomplishment when they achieve a 99, such as mining or fishing? When I train in the Living Rock caverns and see the waves of bots run by, I think to myself, why am I doing this? Why am I training the skill in which all the sense of accomplishment is diminished? Do you think the same? What impact, if any, do you think this has had on the loyal players of the game? That's from Rice. Wow. It's a depressing question in a way, isn't it? But
yeah, it's a good question, though.
It is.
It really is, yeah.
Who wants to kick it off?
He raises a lot of valid points there, because, you know, anybody who's achieved any level of skill and proficiency is going to be feeling the same kind of thing. Because any skill that can be automated, and I think pretty much every skill is now in game, I don't think we've been left with any that haven't been tainted in one way or another. You just think to yourself, why? Why bother? What's the point? I can get 99 and think, well, why would I even bother going and getting the cape? You know, there's just no point. Nothing to be proud of.
The way I try to think of it is, you know, see, I personally play the game because I enjoy the community. I enjoy the sense of achievement that you get when you achieve your goal. I mean, I've read through bot forums and things, and I've seen people like posting threads when they get 99s. It's like, yay, 99. Then everybody will post like, grats. It's like, wait, you botted the whole thing. Why are you even bothered? You never did any of it yourself. And it's just quite funny to read because, you know, there's no sense of achievement. You haven't done it, you know. With me, I love sort of achieving things. Like when I maxed out, it was just the best thing ever for me because, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, all that work is there. Yeah, it's, you know, you get the people that say, you have no life, you know, you spent all this time on a game. But it's not really wasting your time, because if you're enjoying yourself, you know, you're only going to spend your other time.
Right there.
Yeah, exactly. You're only going to spend your other time on an Xbox or a PS3. You know, you might as well put time into an online game where your progress is actually saved, or where the community's bigger, in my opinion. If you don't enjoy playing the game, don't play it. If you do, then keep going and just don't think about it. You know, I mean, yeah. I can't help but think about bots every day. It annoys the crap out of me. I hate the problem, and it demotivates me so much. But you've just got to think, you know, I've done this myself. You know, to yourself, just think, I've done this, I'm going to do it. And at the end of the day, you can think to yourself, you've achieved that. You know that you've achieved that. Even if nobody else does, you know that you've done it. You get the self-satisfaction in itself. And it's, you know, it depends what kind of person you are. But to me, that means more than, you know, just setting up a program and going away from the computer, coming back 5 hours later. It's just, you know, it's stupid. And what I don't get even more is these kids that set up their bots and sit and babysit them. It's like, why? You know? It's like, Jesus Christ. If you're going to bot, at least go and do something constructive. And, you know,
I think it is about motivations, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
The goals that I've set myself and things that I've achieved in game, I've done because it's been a challenge to me. And they have been the goals of which I've been proudest, you know, where it's something that's tough to do or a tough goal for me at the point I'm at. And a lot of the time when I do those things, if I get a 99, I don't have a party. I'm not really in that. I just usually get it by myself or get a close friend to come and join me or whatever, and that's it. Because
yeah, that's what it's I've just done about a few times as well for me. And I agree with you that it's a better way to just celebrate it on your own because you know you did it and that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice. I mean, I would like to say that it's still worth getting these achievements and these accomplishments because they can have the value to yourself. And it's not always going to be this way. It's not just going to stay as it is now. Until the end of the game, I would hope. I think we will see some progress at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think they will sort the problem. Think about it this way, right? They're a company that relies off this game to survive. They have no other big games or income. This is their income. If they mess this up with, you know, I mean, people think that they make more money off bots than they lose, but that's wrong. Think about the amount of players that quit and think of the amount of labor, money they put into labor, a salary for their workers, not only for the bot problem, but the amount of money they put into the labor of the staff that they have dealing with the bots 24/7, court cases for taking down real world trading websites. All of that costs a lot of money and it ain't cheap. And then you've got the server costs on top of that. And it's unreal. Like the amount of money in a membership does not make up that amount of money. And I'm not just saying this. I mean, I know, you know, I've spoken to Jagex staff about it and they have confirmed that they actually lose more money off bots than they make because it's the amount of players that quit and stuff. It's, you know, they lose more players than they gain.
I think it's hard for people looking at it when they don't see all the activity that's happening, and to a certain degree, people understand. Obviously, they can't be completely open about it because otherwise, they'd mm-hmm. give the botters a means of countenancing whatever they're doing. So they know they can't be absolutely transparent. But I think people just wish they were more upfront about it. I mean, if they had, for example, dynamically updated stats shown how many bans were happening and how many mutes and things like that. Can you imagine the impact that would have? Because people would think to themselves, oh, hang on a second, people are getting banned all the time. I'm not going to risk my account.
Or even a monthly post by somebody high up in the company of just the state of the game as it is right now and just a general idea of where they're going. Granted, not to give too much away, but just to update on where things are going. Because I know they did this after they removed the wilderness the first time in January of 2008. They posted a few state of play articles about how they were going to smooth things over. So why not bring that series back?
Yeah, well, they used to post on the homepage, didn't they? Like 20,000 botting scum banned in like big capital letters. And that used to be a demotivator for people like back in the day because they'd see that and think, you know, crap, if I so much as touch about they're going to get me, which it still is the case. They do. All it takes is one report, you know, that's it. Yeah, it might take days, weeks, maybe even months for them to get banned, but they will get caught. All it takes is one report. You just got to think about the backlog of reports they get, and that's all it takes, you know? Just think about it like that.
People forget that as well, because, I mean, we've talked about this before, haven't we, Shane? When we used to report bots, sometimes they'd be banned within a day, sometimes within 2 days, sometimes 3 days, at most a week. Nowadays, it's not surprising to see it take 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
It will happen.
Yeah,
it will come.
Yeah.
And yeah, you so look at some of the players.
Some
of the players that are botting and the levels they have and whatever, there really aren't many limits. It sort of goes across the whole breadth of the player base. So they've got an awful lot of cases to deal with.
Yeah,
and like, I remember few days ago I showed you guys both that one player. I forget what the name was, but it was rolled back for 750 million experience.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of skills that were all above 99. So that is just a bit of an idea of the scope of the problem here. But I don't know. Well,
it's had impacts on people, I think, isn't it? Sorry, going from last question. Obviously, they've lost a lot of players because of it. And they've got a lot of demotivated, loyal players, because even the core players that have been there from the start obviously look at the situation now and think, well, this isn't good. But
yeah, that's the camp I put myself into. Loyal, demotivated.
Yeah, quite. Same here. I think the reality is, with the right level of communication, they could counter a lot of this. Again, if it wasn't for the post to say about the subjects that are coming up in RuneFest and what they were talking about, they would not have given an official news post to acknowledge that they recognise there's an issue with bots for a hell of a lot of months. And
yeah, that's true.
That's not good enough, really. It makes most players perceive the Jagex moderators as being out of touch with their own game. And obviously they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know it better than any of us do, is a reality. But they are perceived as not being in touch with the current situation.
What bothers me is that...
Ideally, what JX should do with that RuneFest session is... I don't care if that's the only session they do this for, but with that one session, videotape it and put it up on their website.
Yeah, agreed.
One thing that bothers me, though, is that people assume things because they can't see things happening. It's not. Like, you know, they can't see Jagex doing something about the bot problem. Like, see, that's why I try to put up my... What, sorry?
I understand exactly what you're saying, but what else are people going to think? You know, the reality is you have to look at things from other people's perspectives in this case. And I know that's exactly what you're asking them to do as well, to look at things from Jagex's perspective. But the reality is, what are they going to think? If somebody sees no movement, they're going to think it's not moving.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's kind of why I try to upload the vids of my bot busts and stuff. I mean, like, every so often we do bot busts. They're like PMod events. We go in-game with JMods, and the JMods just, we go to popular bot in spots. We don't get told beforehand so that corrupt PMods can't leak them. And they tell us when we meet up in a certain location at that time, and then we'll go there, and the JMods will just kick them right off game. And it's quite funny to watch. I have a few videos of it. And I try to upload those to show people that something is being done, you know? And it's not just them thinking that, oh, you know, they're not doing anything, we can't see it happening, it's not happening. And, you know, I think it's sort of lessened it a bit, at least with my subscriber base anyway. People, you know, or the ones that have seen them know that something is happening, but they're just, you know, they haven't seen it themselves.
I wonder if you appreciate just how important those ones are, to be fair.
Yeah, I appreciate
it does
make all,
a massive difference.
Yeah, I appreciate all of my subscribers on YouTube, every single one of them, and I think they all know that as well. You know, I always said, I can't stand corrupt YouTubers that will use their subscribers for donations, and, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but one of them made a vid a few weeks ago, and he was like, oh, I want donations because I'm saving up for something. And he just put up a vid asking for donations. And I was like, why would you do that? What's the point, you know? I mean, a lot of people make videos with YouTube partnership just because they want the real life money as well. And I don't do that. I make vids because I enjoy them. If I don't feel like making a vid, I won't make a vid. But I've noticed that if you sound like upset or you don't want to be doing a vid, people don't want to watch it. Simple as that, because they feel you're sort of boredom, and they just don't want to watch it as much as you want to make it, you know? So if you sound like sort of upbeat and happy. Yeah. And,
if it doesn't even get made in the first place, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just like this too. I mean, we're here because we want to be here. We want to be discussing this. We want to be bringing awareness to this and advancing the problem and bringing awareness to the general player base. But anyways, before we move on to the next one, I just want to, with this question, ask, have either of you guys been turned away from a 99 because of this phenomenon?
Yes.
No.
Well, obviously not for Roger.
I've been maxed like 2 years now, so okay. You know, good time into free trade. So it's, there was not many bots around when I maxed, but it's sort of obviously after that, it's now, and I can see how it can demotivate people because they don't want to do it when everybody else is, you know, not even working for it, but a lot of people aren't. And yeah. I can understand that. I mean, I'd feel the same way, but, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, remember that all it takes is one report. If you start botting, one person reports you, in my opinion, it's worse getting caught at a later date, because by that time, they've probably botted what they're going to bot, think they've gotten away with it, start doing things legit, couple months down the line, bang, banned. Or reset, and that they lose what they've worked for, and it's going to hit them a lot harder than it would do if it hit them instantly. And that's the way I try to think of it as well. If you think of it like that, it's going to hit them a lot harder further down the line. All it takes is one player report, and if you're not at your computer when you're botting, you know, I mean, I don't know how these scripts work because I've never used one, but I can, you know, I've messed them up myself. And if you're not at your computer botting and your script breaks, that's all you're relying on. All a script is a notepad document, pretty much. Think about it that way. A notepad document is running your RuneScape account. All it takes is one mess up, and somebody somewhere will notice that you're a bot and will report you. And a couple months down the line, you'll get just what's coming. And it happens. I've seen it happen so many times. And they think, oh, I've gotten away with it. I've not been banned. And it's been like a month since I did this. 2 months later, boom, gone, banned. And it's funny to see because they think they've gotten away with it and they really haven't. It's, you know, it hits them a lot harder. So if anyone is thinking about botting, I would say don't, because you will get caught.
That needs to come from Jagex. That exact same thing you were mentioning. Don't do it. If you do it, you will get caught.
Yeah, just to make clear to people as well, I mean, I sit in Roger's friends chat and whatever, and a lot of us sitting there talking about how to break the bots and going out there and getting them. And it is true. These guys that are out there botting and think everything's cool, we're out to get you. It's going to happen. We're going to find you. We're going to find a way of breaking your script. We're going to expose you for what you are, and you will get caught.
Yep, it's all it takes. It doesn't even have to be by player input as well. All it is a script, and humans make mistakes. Humans wrote those scripts. Something will mess up, and even if it doesn't, you're doing exactly the same pattern as everybody else who's using that script. And because those scripts are used by thousands of people, people are going to notice. If you're taking the same route or the same pattern, exactly the same pattern as somebody else, you know, it's obvious.
Shane and I have talked about this before, haven't we, Shane? When you look at the wealth of data that's available to Jagex, you do wonder sometimes why they can't apply some kind of heuristics to that to pick up scenarios where this is happening. For all we know, that's exactly what they're doing, or maybe that's exactly what they're working on. So,
that would be good if that's what was coming, because as I've mentioned also before, it's not very hard to do that programmatically, and given the fact that it's just numbers, it's not even natural language data that needs to be parsed. It wouldn't even require that much CPU power. So,
have you been to Free to Play World recently? You know the website advertises that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently, they do it. They're doing something big time with them, because you can go to Free to Play World now and there's none. You can see the accounts standing there, but they're all muted. I think what they must have implemented is an auto-mute system. Like, if they type something similar to a website or with a website, it'll just auto-mute them permanently or something like that. I don't know what they've done, but they've done something.
Yeah, well, let's just call that the Giblix rule.
Mm-hmm.
In his honor.
Yep. All right, so... Well, that's two ways to look at that then, because I know I was thinking of going 99 mining, smithing through gold, and then using that for crafting, but the Living Rock Cavern bots, it's just like, why? Why should I start that now? So, I don't know. That's something I'm thinking about.
I do like the positive outlook on it, though, and I think everybody should bear that in mind. And the reality is, the only reason we're still here in the game and playing it is because we know there is so much good about it. That could people can enjoy.
Maybe with that, I should do that then. Maybe I should.
Go for it.
Anyways, next question is from Nomad. Raji, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. One sec. What sort of ways can you improve? Can you prove that people are botting, and what annoys you guys the most? Well, it doesn't take much to prove somebody's botting. I mean, you can't really base a macro accusation off somebody not talking because, you know, I mean, although I'm quite a sociable player, if somebody talks to me in-game, I will reply to them. You know, a lot of people won't, and I don't understand that. I think it's quite ignorant. And I don't understand why people just won't respond to somebody who says hi. I think it's rude. People that don't, but that's just my personal opinion. And, you know, people will report you for that, but obviously, you know, if you're not botting, you won't get in trouble.
You should never be worried about being reporting somebody and it not being right. I mean... Obviously, try and keep your reports as accurate as possible, but don't think that you'll ever get somebody in trouble by reporting them if they're not botting, because they will only get banned if they are.
If you report on people who aren't botting and you know that aren't botting and you're just doing it to try and get them banned or whatever, you're just wasting Jax's time, because the more reports they have to look through that aren't legit, you know, the less bots are getting... It takes longer for bots to get banned and whatnot.
I'd hope to see, though, that, you know, the reports they get from players, it'd be nice to think that they treat them in the same way as they did intelligence reports back in the war or whatever, where they weight the reports. If somebody's shown that they've been quite accurate in the past, they give more credence to their reports and vice versa.
Yeah.
Now that would be a good idea. Because... I know you've mentioned before, Cap, that the reporting system does need a complete overhaul in the way.
Oh, massively.
Because.
Yeah.
1 minute limit for a report and not even just a suspected macroing option, or I don't know. What's the option right now?
You can't even. There's not even an option there to report somebody as a suspected real world trader. And I'm not being funny. If you've played the game long enough, you walk around, you can tell who's doing what. For a great respect.
Yeah.
I mean, this comes back onto Nomad's question, and it, in terms of ways you tell, it's a combination of factors, I think. And I think what you have to look at it is like making your case in a court or whatever. You've got to think about reasonable doubt. And if somebody's got a bot-like name, they're wearing gear that's very bot-like, they're moving around in a way that isn't very human-like, you know, or quite automated. They're doing a repetitive task. They're there for 24 hours a day. You know, all these things sort of have a cumulative effect. And you say, you know what, on balance, there's a high chance this person is botting.
Yeah, and that goes back to the whole heuristics thing we talked about as well. I mean, basically, what Cap just described there is human-based detection of a bot, but that's what we would like to be automated. So if you take those kind of things into account... Over time, I think you can get a pretty good sense if someone's botting, and I personally think my bot senses are pretty good.
Yeah,
you do. you do wonder to yourself why they don't implement, because surely it would save them time. Because if they looked at the data that they've got, and they've got masses of data, they can't look at it all physically because it's impossible. There's too much being generated for somebody to look at. But if they applied logic to it, and then they put that against the actual bans that they've done and said, well, would we have banned this person without this? And they tweak and tweak and tweak. Eventually, they'll get to a point where what the automated system's doing is exactly what they would be doing, but just faster.
Yeah. So, anyways, is there any other tips we can provide on proving what a bot is?
I think something as simple as, I mean, for example, you can use HunterBots as an example. You know, all you have to do is set up box traps exactly where they about to set their trap, where their traps up, and you can tell, because a regular player would start effing and blinding at you for doing it, because it is annoying, but a bot obviously isn't, and you know.
The bottom line is things like, if you're interacting with them, what would you do as a player if somebody did that to you? Yeah, you'd effing care for whatever, but you might also move, you might say, you might go somewhere else or whatever. And they don't display any of those characteristics.
Just little things like, you know, play some box traps down that could really mess you up or annoy you as a regular player. And, you know, just things that you don't think about most of the time, like setting up box traps or whatever. And, you know, things that people would normally get really angry at you for. And
Tally over them.
Yeah, Tally Other works too. If they've got aid on, Tally Other them, and they trade will them. Get annoyed.
Offer them a free 1 mil. it sounds silly, but...
Offer them a free 1 mil.
Sure, people aren't sure. You say it.
And then if they don't reply, then you know what the issue is.
You have to consider they might have the public chat off. You have to consider a lot of other things, even things like certain phrases, if you type out certain phrases, some bots react by reacting to those phrases in a consistent way. So you're saying, what is your level in a certain skill using the quick chat? Some bots will automatically reply every time you ask it. Now, a real person isn't going to reply 20 times, mm-hmm. but a bot sometimes will. And the same for some other phrases that would cause them to log off or what have you. So there are some tools you can use.
Alrighty then. And what annoys us the most about this whole problem? One sentence answer. Just to keep it brief. Cap?
It's still going on.
Okay. Raji?
What, sorry?
What annoys you the most?
About bots?
Yes.
Just a quick everything.
One sentence or two.
Okay. Everything.
Alright. And the thing that annoys me the most is that initially when this whole free trade thing came back, they said they were going to get this problem under control, but clearly they overestimated how bad it would be. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways. Thank you, Nomad. Next up is from RRMan100. Kiaora. Hey guys, how long do you think the game has left if it keeps going at this rate? Simply put, the bots are the cancer of RuneScape. It looks like there's no cure. How long does the game have to live? Also, side question, what other games are all the hosts going to be playing for the rest of 2011? Peace out, RRMan100. And just a little side note to you, RRMan, when I read this question, I felt like I should be channeling a Kiwi accent, but I decided not to today.
I take it that's where the Kiaora comes from, yeah?
Yes, it's a...
You see, Roger will be thinking the same as me. And it's like a fruit juice drink here in the
world. Okay.
Called Kiaora.
It's a nice, apparently, a hello kind of greeting over there.
Cool, I like it. I think the game has a hell of a long time left, to be fair. Even at the rate it's at now. The reality is there are people who are going to work around the issue. even with the bots as they are. I mean, look at how many people are still playing. If it really was a question of it deteriorating that much, there just wouldn't be the player base there. People wouldn't be playing it. It would just be, you know, automated guys, and that's it.
Well, they've done it.
It would be a far lot more overrun.
I think it raises a very interesting question, though, because if they were to do a poll now asking people whether they wanted free trade restricted again, and everything to go back to how it was, it'd be very interesting to see the output. I mean, I think I'd rather lose free trade.
What would you
vote on it? I'd go back to how it was.
Okay. Raji?
I would vote no. I'd like it to go back the way it was.
Yeah, me too, actually. So,
actually, there were certain things that I wouldn't like to go back. I mean, I enjoy free-for-all in bosses and splitting the drops between my team, like, you know, like how we used to in the old days. That I would miss that again, because that was one of the things that I was really excited about when free trade came back, because I'm a big PVMer.
But if you think about it, the mechanics for that could be put in, because you're not talking about players dropping items for other players or whatever else. You're talking about the loot spread. So there's no reason why they couldn't implement that.
Yeah, just have the loot go to a trusted member in the current Friends Chat channel or whatever, and then rely on that person to sell it and split it. And by entering a Friends Chat with that setting set, you are agreeing that, yes, this is what's going to happen when we get a drop together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could set a mechanism up for it. There's nothing stopping that.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
you look at some of the complicated interface in the games for things that they got, like Jewel Arena and whatever else, there's nothing stopping them implementing a similar thing.
Yep. And, you know, I read somewhere that the game has at least 10 years of development left, so I think this is just a little bump along that road. And it's going to be an interesting few more years about what's coming down the pipe, because, you know, I think 2011 has produced some of the best graphical changes we've seen for this game. And, I mean, it's just a question of where we can go from there. So,
yeah,
I think the future is long and bright. This is just a little bump along the road.
You've also got to consider they're looking at things like cross-platform and ways that can increase the interaction and things like... I suppose it'll only be a matter of time before it'll be some kind of Facebook game staffing or Google Plus staffing, you know. So there's a lot of longevity there still.
Yeah.
They're
even making the game more social.
Yeah.
MMG was discussing bringing it out on consoles. What would you think about that? Like, bringing it out on, like, you know, PS3 or whatever. I think that would be nice. I think it would be a really nice expansion.
There's no reason.
The reason they said they can't just yet is because MMG wants it to be free.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's the thing that will stop them from doing that.
And he wants it to be a mixed community as well, whereas PS3, Sony, and Xbox won't mix their communities together. Whereas that's what MMG wants. So, yeah. I don't know, maybe it is a possibility.
Cross-platform's a natural way for this to go, and the irony is a lot of the platform manufacturers want that in some respects, but none of them want to give up their profit, understandably.
We all think that the game is going to survive. It's just that this is just a little problem along the way.
Yeah, it has a hell of a lot of potential, put it that way.
Yes. I mean, just look at what they've accomplished from 2004 to 2011. That's the best thing to say. So, anyways, Raji, do you have anything to add on that? Because you did kind of get cut off there due to Skype.
I can't remember what I said.
All right, then. So are you guys playing any other games in 2011 at all?
Not really. I'm looking forward to Skyrim. But I'm working on the wiki for that, actually, at the minute.
It's been a long time since I played any of those series, but just recently I got one of the Morrowinds back again, just to have a go. And it just reminded me how enjoyable it was. And I'll tell you what was enjoyable. It's a similar kind of thing to RuneScape, isn't it? Because the whole idea is it's not linear. You go in, and you do what you want to do, and you experience it the way you want to experience it. And I think that's got a hell of a lot in similar, in same kind of aim with RuneScape.
Okay, Cap, do you have any games this year?
No, not really this year. Nothing really jumped out at me enough to sort of say. I will try the new Morrowind, the Elder Scrolls one. Aside from that, not really. I've not seen anything that sort of grabbed me and said, hey, wow, you got to try this. And until something sort of blows me away like that, I'm not going to bother looking too hard.
All right, then. For me, the rest of this year is probably my main game, not I don't count little side diversions, but StarCraft 2, of course.
Ah, yeah. No surprise.
Yep.
You know what I'd like to see, and I don't know whether it is the case with StarCraft or some of the other games out there. You remember, do you remember Frontier?
No, I don't think I played that one.
You're going back a long while here. I'm showing my age now. Elite 2. It was a game called Frontier, and it was, is it David Braben or whatever? I can't remember the guy's name. But again, that whole sort of non-linear idea, you had this whole massive universe that you could explore. I'd like to see a lot more of that going on again in games, just yeah, something a bit innovative.
I know it's not the same kind of game, but I know the most popular one for that previously was Grand Theft Auto 4. Borderlands, Saints Row series, those are those kind of games like that. I like those kind of games, depending on when they're set and whatnot. So,
yeah, cool.
I was never really into Grand Theft Auto. It was fun for a while, but it got boring.
I enjoyed it while I was doing it for the some of the challenges in there. I thought it was quite nice how diverse those were. You know, all the different things you got to do. But, yeah, it's one of these things you have a quick blast on it, and then it's very arcadey, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I know people have spent upwards of 48 hours on Grand Theft Auto 4, so that's kind of the reason why I don't touch that. I don't have the kind of time to put that much into it to experience the depth of the game, you know, just be a short stint, if anything, so...
Oh, yeah. And then they talk about people going out and playing it too long, going out and copying what they do in the game in real life. And I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think we can all have that enough self-control. So anyways, next question now from Macbeth is a question for Raji. I know you don't bot kill for money, but what's the highest value kill you've gotten?
Yeah, it was an Ivy botter that we killed. Well, we actually killed them twice in the same day. What we did was, he was in like Armadale with Ranger boots and Dragon Hatchet. And we, pretty much we killed him once, and then we went back later on in the day and we killed him again for the same gear. And he lost like Ranger boots. And yeah, Ranger boots, Dragon Hatchet, and an Armadale helm both times. It was pretty good splits that day, actually. And the guy must have been annoyed as hell coming back to his bot twice and finding it dead for like 30 mil.
It's like, why would you wear that much when you're botting? I think we discussed this on the bot killing special.
It's arrogance, isn't it, mostly, more than anything else. But then a lot of these guys can afford these things because of what they're doing. So you have to consider that as well.
See, we already... we got him once. So what the guy must have done was... come back to his bot, found it dead... And then went and bought his shit back. Set up his bot again.
So he probably bought the same ones back that you sold on GE.
Brilliant.
I mean, anyways, I know, like you said there, the motivation for Roger isn't the financial one, but why not as well, you know? It is a bit of a sticking the fingers up to these guys and taking that wealth off them. You know, they deserve it in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yep. And in a way, I think you can see it as giving back to the general community as for cleaning this guy out and then removing him for a while from the botting scene.
Yeah, you know, Shane, I've said to you before that I do get cross when Jagex counter anti-bot measures that players can have in place, you know, like shutting the doors and the exploding frogs and toads and whatever. You do think to yourself, realistically, they've got an issue with the bots and the population. The legit population of RuneScape is more than happy to help. And if there's a way that we can take out those that are AFKing or those that are botting, why not let us have it? You know, it's going to be something slow and obvious, so anybody who's legitimate wouldn't be caught by it. Why not?
Yeah, but argument for that whole thing is that what if there's a level 3 player with only 100 life points there and gets caught by that?
Yeah, you make it proportionate, don't you? You make it take a small portion of whatever their health is or whatever, or a certain proportion of their health. And you do it so it would take quite a while to do it. You know, a good 10 minutes.
And I think if you did it to a legit level 3 player, I think they would say something and start yelling at you.
Of course they would, if they're there playing at the screen. It's no different, is it? If we're talking about whatever the measure is, it takes 10 minutes, whether they're level 3 or level 1, 3, 8, it still takes 10 minutes to kill them. Somebody not paying attention to that length of time, well, they're breaking the rules. So they get what they deserve.
Yep. Anyways, now on to a bit of general discussion. What's the opinion on how a lack of bots altogether would affect Jagex as a company? Okay, we already did that. And then he says he heard from a shoddy source that around half of the players are bots. So what would happen to the game if we banned all the bots?
It's another junk statistic.
We know the bots are hurting Jagex, so... But if Jagex banned all the bots, I think that'd make the game fairly more representative of what it should be and actually is. I mean, I think it would be a good thing. It might be painful for a while in terms of the economy, but that's how things should be.
But we're not just talking about the in-game economy here, are we? Because we're also talking about the real-life economy for Jagex, because obviously they sell advertising based on the number of users and so on, so... There is a real-life impact of the number of players and things like that, but I think they also stand by their reputation. And if they could completely clean out all the bots in the game, they would appreciate that in the longer term. They would benefit from it, which is why they've said that's what they would do. If they were given the choice, if they could press that big red button, they would do it. They'd press it.
And take the loss for it instead? And just have the game being pure with
long term, it wouldn't be a loss. Players. If they could find a permanent basis, it wouldn't be a loss long term, because they'd have a lot more enthusiastic guys going out there and saying, you know, come on.
Yeah, and I know that's something I would do, because I think RuneScape is a good way just to waste some time and escape, even if you're not exactly like a true gamer. I think there's something in there that everybody could benefit from, but in the current state, I'm not likely to recommend it.
Exactly. It's a good point. And a lot more of the videos that are out there would be celebrating content instead of berating the state of it. You know, there'd just be a lot more good publicity.
Yep. All right. Raji, do you have anything on that one regarding what would happen if they banned all the bots?
I think RuneScape would be awesome again.
Yeah, for sure. Put it this way, the finances aren't dependent on bots. The company finances aren't dependent on bots.
Because I think the legit players do outnumber the bots. I don't think it's 50%. What do you guys think the percentage is?
No, I don't think it's anywhere near 50%. I think it's more like 30.
Yeah, I think I said 30, 35 before. I think the thing you have to bear in mind as well is legitimate players have loyalty
yeah.
to the game, because you know, otherwise we wouldn't be here, is the reality of it. Real world traders have no loyalty whatsoever, because they will just move to wherever is the most profitable to them. And if the game's no longer profitable because legitimate players aren't playing it anymore, they will move away from RS. It's that simple. If they're not making a profit yep. off of what they're doing.
Yep.
And the same goes for a lot of the bots as well, because if there's nobody to show off to, they're not going to bother.
Yep.
So the Jagex appreciate this. They know that already. So they understand that they can't just give the game over to that side of the community, because it's just, it's not a business model that works.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned something, a word that was a recent update of last month, loyalty rewards. Do you think that update back in June could have had anything to do with keeping us real players dedicated to the game? Because I don't know if a person who is even high-level or mid-level botting would be taking benefit of the loyalty rewards.
I don't know, because, I mean, personally, I think you can have loyal FTP players. You can have loyal free-to-play players that are committed to the
game.
Yeah, that's true. I know one of our staff members was free-to-play for his entire RuneScape career, only did one month of members, then went back to free-to-play. So people do play free-to-play for years on end. So that is a valid point there. All right, then we'll move right on to tech news. But first, a reminder that you can send us your questions to questions@rsbnb.com if they are an audio question, or phone them into the Google Voice number, which is 571-57-BNB. And that is a North American number, so if you are in a foreign country, you will have to pay a long distance on that. On to tech news now. This week, what we discussed last week, Apple's iPhone announcement, everything came out that was expected. Nothing grandiose regarding an iPhone 5 or anything of that nature, just the iPhone 4S, which is essentially a spec boost of the iPhone 4. So, Raji, you use an iPhone, correct?
Yep.
Any chance of you upgrading to the 4S from whatever you have now?
Possibly. I kind of need a new phone. I haven't got much money at the minute, though, so...
Which one do you have right now?
3G.
Okay. So, basically, I think the main highlight of the 4S is the camera. It's an 8-megapixel camera on the device, and they highlighted it as being the new generation of a point-and-shoot camera. So basically now, if you want a camera, you could just use your phone as it. And I think that's a decent thing now based on some of the pictures that were put out with it. So definitely people should consider if they are looking towards getting an iPhone or a smartphone in general. But if you have the iPhone 4 or 3GS, you could probably stick it out with what you got until the next version, especially if you're in a contract. I don't know how things work over there in the UK, but did you buy your iPhone when you got it on a contract?
No, pay as you go. I don't like contract because I don't use my phone a lot, okay. So it's mainly there just for the gadgets, really, more
right,
than anything.
So you just paid the full upfront price of it and then just add on what you need.
So, yeah,
you know, most people here in North America do the contract thing because the phone is $600-$700 unlocked by itself. But I guess if you're going to keep it for the full lifetime of the phone, that's okay. But contracts are evil, I will say that much.
Yeah.
There's also an interesting thing with iPhone 4S called Siri, which is basically voice control for the phone. Not just typical voice control, being able to call someone or something, but being able to dictate, say, text messages to someone. So you could say, text Raji, yes, we're still on to do the show today, and it would just automatically send that text message for you. Which is interesting because recognizing words is simple, but knowing what those words mean and how to chain them together is hard because it's natural language. So I think if anybody is going to pioneer this, I think it will be Apple along the way. So definitely a good thing in there. Other highlights of the announcement, iOS 5 ships next week, which unfortunately won't be supported for your 3G, 3GS, iPhone 4 and 4S, iPad, iPad 2, and the last two iPod Touches as well. Then, of course, just a tiny update to the iPod Nano, which was expected.
Yeah.
And they didn't kill the iPod Classic off, which was something I was worried about going into this event because, you know, iPod Classic. When was the last time you saw an iPod Classic floating around?
I can't remember. Those were chunky, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So everything now is either a Nano or an iPhone or an iPod Touch. So I'm glad they didn't kill the Classic off. But
yeah.
Anyways, so that's the Apple announcement. Really not that much in terms of groundbreaking stuff, mostly evolutionary. Personally, I'm a little bit concerned in that I don't know if that's going to be enough to keep up with other phone manufacturers, but knowing Apple, it probably will be enough. So, would you ever consider going to an Android type phone?
What do you mean, like a BlackBerry?
No, an Android. The Android operating system, like a HTC or something like that.
No, I don't think so. I'm quite happy with my iPhone, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It does everything I need it to. It's like right there, isn't it? You know, you can download any app for anything you want, and that's it. It's right there.
And the user experience is so solid in that I think it just keeps the users who have it in, and they don't want to switch to anything else. I mean, I'd like to look at Android, but I wouldn't want to use it because of the way the apps work on that and how development works. So, anyways.
Yeah.
Let's move on from Apple and talk a bit about Microsoft now. So, have you seen any pictures of Windows 8?
Yeah, it looks a lot different. Like, a lot.
Yeah, very much so. Basically, they went this way because their studies, their user interface studies told them to. Their studies told them that less and less people are clicking in the start menu on items. People aren't pinning items to the start menu. They're pinning items to the taskbar. Do you use Windows 7 or Windows Vista?
Windows 7. Windows 7 all the
way. Okay. Yes. So everybody pins to the taskbar in Windows 7, and they don't use the start menu. So they figured, why don't we take the start menu in a different direction entirely? So, some numbers they cite include a 61% decrease in using the pictures, 56% documents, 54% control panel, 51% pinned items, all programs 42%, and computer 40%, and 11% decrease in actually opening the start menu. So, start menu use has gone down, and that's what's led to this whole start screen. I tried out the Windows 8 preview, and it's a preview. I think people are eventually going to get used to the new way of doing things, but I think there's going to be some holdouts from certain types of people, like legacy users, businesses, and just the general people who don't like change or like to look for something to complain about, if you know where I'm going on that. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I think it's changed too much, to be honest. I think Windows has its sort of, you know, it's a USP, isn't it? It's so easy to... I think they made it more complicated, to be honest. Because Windows has its USP where it's, you know, it's so sleek and easy to use and the menus are really nice and it has its taskbar and stuff like that. And then now it's like all the icons on one page and it's like... It just looks confusing from the screenshots I've seen. I might have a look into it a bit more, but I don't think I'll be buying it. I quite like Windows 7.
That's interesting that you say that you won't be buying it, because if that's how you feel about it, I don't know if you... Do you class yourself as an enthusiast or a regular user?
I would say I'm an enthusiast.
Okay. All right. So if you're an enthusiast, how is a regular user going to feel about that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, obviously there's going to be people that have the same opinions as me, but like, I mean, it's a lot different from what they usually have. Maybe they're trying to go down a different route or whatever, but I think they should have just sort of stuck to their old, I don't know. I mean, I hope it works out well for them because Vista didn't. And Vista messed yeah. them up.
And that was a pretty big change, too.
Yeah, so...
And, you know, there's the odd-even rule. Windows XP, good. Vista, bad. 7, good.
Good.
8, bad? I don't know.
But, we'll see. We?
You know, the reason they're trying to do this is because they want Windows 8 to be the Windows operating system you use on your desktop, your laptop, your tablet, and probably eventually your phone. So... They want the tablet interface to be out there so that everybody can use it. And, you know, it feels like it's, from my early indications of using it, feels like there's too much emphasis on touch in the start screen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas OS X tried to do a bit of touch, but you don't have to use touch to be able to do it. I think the OS X route is much more effective, just the few multi-touch gestures, not requiring you to have an entire... screen based on touch. So
I like the whole touch
screen. Definitely
thing,
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why I like iPhone as well. It's easy, you know. It's right there at the palm
exactly.
of your hand. You know, I
but
don't
it's
like
a different
pressing
use case
button.
Because your phone or tablet is different from the desktop which you play RuneScape on, you know?
Mm-hmm. See, I think they're gonna change that as well. I think that, you know, like they're gonna come out with sort of touch keyboards where it's not even keys, it's just a screen and it's just got keys on it that are touch sensitive. I couldn't,
yeah,
I don't know,
that,
I think I'd still prefer, like, you know, because you can feel where the keys are on this, but with that, it's
well,
just
that
a screen.
Well, that is possible.
That's weird.
That is possible with the virtual keyboard through something called haptic sensing. Basically, what happens is when you push, you feel a bit of resistance in that area. So that is something that's in the research area. I don't think there's any haptic-based keyboard out yet, but that's the next logical step to take things, combining touch and keyboard. And that's what's called in the computer interfaces area as a multimodal interface, basically meaning you're pushing physical buttons and you're also using the sense of touch. So
yeah. Well, the advantage of... doing something like that would be that, you know, people could buy like add-ons for their keyboards. Like they could say, you know, if they wanted to play World of Warcraft, they could download a World of Warcraft specific keyboard that was designed for World of Warcraft. You know, like you see the Razer ones for World of Warcraft and things like that. You download that and it could just, you know, be imported straight to your keyboard. And I think it'll be really nice, but it'd be weird getting used to like typing on a screen rather than a keyboard. I think that would take some getting used to.
But we all do it on the iPhone, so I guess we could make the transition to doing it on the desktop too. But I agree with you in that it's a little bit too far for the changes on Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, next story. Digital monopolies are a bigger threat than piracy, coming from the CEO of Miramax, which is a motion picture company. So... Miramax CEO Mike Lang and Netflix Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos gave a keynote talk at the MIPCOM conference. The two discussed the challenges they continually face in the digital world, and both agreed that piracy is not much of an issue as long as you give customers what they want. Digital monopolies such as Apple's dominance in the music industry are a far bigger threat. What do you think?
I don't know.
I personally wouldn't call Apple's a digital monopoly in this day and age anymore because there's Amazon and all those other subscription services you can get music from.
Yeah, I think it's an issue in the sense that the companies aren't making a lot of money, you know, that they could have been. But I think in a way it's, you know, I don't think they should be so harsh with people using their music on YouTube videos and things because, I mean, as a video maker myself, I feel quite pressured. You want to make a video if I want to put music in it. I've got to check whether or not it's copyright because if I put a copyright music in my song in my vid, I can't use I can't put revenue sharing on it because it you know,
right.
It's against my partnership terms and conditions, so I'm not allowed to put anything copyright in my vids, and that includes images, video clips, audio, anything copyright, and I have to check before I put it in there whether or not it's actually copyrighted. And it's, you know, I think it would be a good thing on their part. If I was a songwriter, if I made music, I would say, look, you can use it as much as you want. I just want credit for it, you know? So if you put a song in your vid, I want, you know, even in the description, just say song by da 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 da. You can use it all you want, because in a way it helps you promote your music, doesn't it? Right? Yeah, it's not paid for, but it's promotion of the music. So I don't get why they're so harsh about it, because if it was me, I'd let people use it.
And what if you gave a few cents of your ad revenue for your video to the person who owns the song? Wouldn't mm-hmm. that be a decent way of handling it?
Yeah.
So. But, you know, this just highlights the thing that piracy and the issue of, as you said, rights in terms of music isn't really that big of an issue compared to this digital monopoly thing. But, and we all know that piracy doesn't always equal a lost sale, especially in the music industry. But, I don't like monopolies, and I personally don't consider the Apple one a monopoly, but anytime when consumer choice is being restricted, I think that's a problem and something should be done about it. But do you get the sense that film companies and whatnot are making a bigger deal of piracy and not focusing on the monopoly side of things when they should be?
Possibly. Okay. I'm not really sure, though. I mean, I'm not... It's weird.
We're not legal experts.
Yeah, exactly.
So, this is just something to think of next time you're hearing a issue with monopolies and everything like that. So, it's a good read. I invite you to head on over and read it. You can find that in the notes at update.rsmoobie.com. That's it for tech news this week. I'm going to head on into some other things right now, including the RSBNB Skill of the Month October update. So, Raji, I don't know if you know what Skill of the Month is, but it's our monthly skilling competition where people gather experience and they whoever gathers the most experience at the end of the month wins. So, this month is the prayer Skill of the Month. Currently, we've got a first place winner named Pris with 5.9 million experience gained. Second is Adiv with 3.7 million experience gained. And third is Sexy Ketchup with 1.9 million experience gained.
Sexy Ketchup. That's 5 days.
Yes, SXE. That's what I'm assuming it's supposed to say. So I'm just going with that.
It's a thought that counts.
So. And then fourth place is Brian B. with 1.9 million experience. And fifth is New Hero with 1.1 experience. So keep in mind, this is prayer, so these people are spending their hard-earned money on this to get experience. And as we all know, prayer is pretty expensive.
Yeah, it certainly is now as well. Well, I'm surprised it's still as expensive with the bots and the Frost Dragon Bones and stuff. But it is. I've got to live with it.
And up-to-date stats for that can be found on the RSBNB Skill of the Month page at rsbnb.com/skotm. All right, achievements of the week. Just one this week, since this week was a short week, since this is recorded on Wednesday. Tim, with 99 agility on October 1st. So another person that got 99 agility. So congratulations to you. We hope you still have your fingers intact after all that mindless clicking. So I know that's what I felt after I got 99 agility. Whenever I would come out of the spirit tree by the advanced gnome course, first instinct would be to run to the agility course after I got 99 for a few months after. What did you agility do for 99 agility
ongoing, when you got 99?
Because I assume it was before the advanced courses came out.
Actually, it was just about that time. Like, I was halfway through 99 Agility, and they brought out the advanced courses when I hit about 90. So it was perfect, really.
Oh, me too. That's the exact same time that I was going for it.
Yeah. It was quite nice timing, really. But see, there was the Barbarian one, wasn't there? And there's the Norm one. I tried the Barbarian one for a little while because it is slightly better XP, but I did the Norm one until 99 because I found it easier to click on things and on the obstacles rather than the Barbarian one. So I did the Norm one to 99 rather than the other one. And I'd go there for my rocks each week as well rather than the Barbarian.
That's what I did too. So we're both on that same page there. Anyways, month of October is now started, so you can find the Informer October Roundup for this month at informer.rsbnb.com. A little bit of everything this month, all the way from girls and gaming, can gaming replace real life, bit about the occult dungeoneering floor bosses, article on grinding, then some bot coverage on random events in real-world trading, and of course some troubleshooting tech support. And then, of course, let's not forget the guest article, which covered healthcare in the world, since healthcare is a very contentious subject in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to pay for your healthcare over there, don't you?
I'm actually in Canada, so ours is much like yours in the U.K. They do have to pay for theirs in the U.S., so ours here is completely free unless it's advanced care like dentist or podiatry or eye doctor. Those things are not covered, but everything else is. I think it works the same way over in the UK, right?
Yeah. Well, we get our other things for free as well. We get our dentist, and I think it's up until a certain age, though, with those. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up because I haven't paid for anything like that yet. So.
Okay. Well, it's a good read. It was written by Trekkie, and he knows what he's doing on that subject, so definitely take a read through that.
Yeah, I will do.
All right. Cap was going to be here to show us this pick regarding something, but since he's not here, I'm not going to do his pick for him. Do you have a pick instead?
Give me a clue, like
anything regarding any applications or websites you'd like to recommend.
I don't know really. It's same old YouTube.
Okay, I got a pick then. I can cover this. Don't worry.
All right.
Basically, I got a free book, a full book, multiple chapters. Let's see, I don't know how many pages it is, but it's a book on computer science called Introduction to Computing Explorations in Language, Logic, and Machines.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a free book that you can get. It covers everything computer science related from basically how a computer works, languages, programming, machine language, data representation, everything, everywhere. So this is a good resource, especially if you're at all interested in wondering how computer science works or what it is. So if that's ever been an interest, you can head on over and download a copy of this book. They have it full in PDF, or you can even order a printed copy. It's at computingbook.org. So
sounds quite cool.
Computer science. Yeah, computer science was what I did in university for my degree. So it's a subject I like, and it's always nice when I can find something like this that I can share this interest with other people in a way that they'll understand.
I'm surprised that's free.
And the good thing about this book is that it's not theory-based like typical computer science books. It's got elements of practicality into it, so people are going to be able to get what computer science is and why it's important. So it's not theory-based about, what's the best way to implement multitasking in an operating system. It's real practice that people can understand. So that's at computingbook.org. Definitely take a read if you're at all interested in computers or computing science. All right. So tell us a bit about what you've been doing in RuneScape, Raji.
There isn't much to say, to be quite honest with you. As I said earlier, trimmed completion escape, pretty much. I have a goals thread on my clan forums. I'm not sure if you want to link that or not.
Oh yeah, we can do that.
That I update every now and again with my things that I've completed, but pretty much there's not really that much to read anymore. If you want to have a check through the images and stuff that I've got on there of my achievements, then you feel free. I'm in Supreme Skillers, so it'll be supremeskillers.net. I'll put the link in Skype for Shane a bit later on. Pretty much it's just the Castle Wars and the Statue of Darmrock that I've got left. I've got 9 weeks of Shattered Heart. And I have got about 3,000 Castle Wars games left. But I've worked out that if I stick solid at Castle Wars with a 1 day a week for Statue of Darmrock, I should be finished about New Year, with any luck, I hope. So we'll see how that goes, really. I mean, not got much time with work, but when I am on, I'm trying to just get as many Castle Wars games as done as possible. I'm waking up at like 7 o'clock in the morning, logging in, doing two Castle Wars games before I go to work, and then coming in from work and going straight back to Castle Wars. It's really that like sort of case of getting as much in as possible, and it's repetitive and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it's a cape that what 3 or 4 people in the game have. And it's always going to be rare because it's people don't want to do the 5K games. And that's what is keeping it rare. Everything else isn't that hard. I mean, you've got to get all the champion scrolls and things like that. That takes a couple of weeks in itself, you know, if you're lucky. That can take months. I got really lucky and ended up getting all of my champion scrolls in a week. I actually had a screenshot. I had 7 on my adventure log at one time, all at the same time. And they were all different. And yeah, it's pretty much champion scrolls and stuff like that is the hard 4K chompy kills. All of that is done. It's just the Castle Wars and the Statue of Darmrock, which I've got 9 weeks of. So I'm aiming for New Year. If I can get it by New Year, I'm happy. It might be slightly after, though. But we'll see.
Alrighty then. Good for you. And as for me in RuneScape, I've just been doing a bit of smithing, leveling that to 88 so I can proceed and do the Fremenic Achievement Diary. So that's that. And then just a bit of project planning for a new thing coming up. So that's pretty much all I've been up to this week.
You wanting the Fremenic boots for the teleport and the Liar teleport and things like that?
No, it's just something I set myself a task of doing to eventually complete all the task sets for the Taskmaster emote, get all the tasks done, and then start on something else. So
yeah,
but the hard part of getting all the tasks done is going to be getting 95 summoning for, I think it's the Karamja one that requires 95 summoning.
Mm-hmm. Is it? No, it's something to do with the Abyssal Titan, isn't it? Or is that not the Varrock one where you've got to...
No, the Varrock one only has the requirement of 92 prayer as the top. Let's see. Mm. Yes, Karamja requires 95 summoning. You need 95 summoning in order to box trap a monkey.
Hmm, that's strange.
And the Ardoian one needs 93 in that one to let's see, what do you need to do for that? 93 summoning.
Yeah, it's for the Abyssal Titan, isn't it? I think.
Let's see. 93 summoning. Yeah, Abyssal Titan. Hold essence for you. Right.
Yeah, it's
also. And of course, there's no way to boost summoning, so.
Mining S as well.
Just gotta do it.
Yeah, it has scrolls as well, doesn't it? You can mine S and it will bank every piece of essence that's in your invent. So, it's quite... I mean, not many people really mine essence. But, you know, it's there. It is quite... I mean, I use that when I get my weekly rocks because it's really quick. Because your statue of Darmok rocks are based off actions. The more actions you do, the more likely you get the rocks. So you get an essence really, really quickly, so you're more likely to get your rocks quicker. And skills like Hunter are slower because you get, you know... It depends what you do. Like, with farming, I do watermelons because you get a lot of watermelons from allotments. Like, you tend to get 20 or 30 from a single allotment. So when you're doing that... It normally takes me 2 farming runs to get both rocks. I sometimes get them in 1, but it doesn't ever take me longer than 2. So it's just a matter of... I actually have a video guide about that, which I made recently. But
We should mention the YouTube channel as well as we wrap this up. So I think we're pretty much done for this episode. It's unfortunate that we lost Cap, but in regards to him, I'll say thank you to him for coming on, and of course to you, Raji. And no, I'd like to remind everybody that you can find Raji's videos at youtube.com/JimmyFly06. That's correct, right?
Yep.
All right, then.
That was awesome talking to you, Shane.
Yep. Thanks, Raji, and thanks to you guys out there for listening, and we'll see you all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.